let's breathe that in. What a beautiful song. Who does that song? Karen Drucker, yes. Oh. Can you feel that? Yeah, in the stillness of the moment, there is definitely love happening here. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Last week, we started a series based on the book by the investigative reporter, Lynn McTaggart, called The Power of Eight, Harnessing the Miraculous Energies of a Small Group to Heal Others, Your Life, and the World. The title is lengthy but accurate. And we began by talking about the occurrence of miracles. And if you remember the definition, Webster's definition, an event or action that apparently contradicts known scientific laws, the operative words there being apparently and known, because there is much more to life than meets the eye in this physical realm. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yes. And the power of intention can help to unearth those miracles. Our thoughts have great capacity to make seemingly miraculous change, especially when groups gather in one accord and hold that focused intention together. Unity's third principle, we heard earlier from Gary. The thoughts, we create our own experience of reality through the thoughts and the beliefs that we routinely hold in our minds. Do you believe that's true?
Yes.
Well, focused group intention brings that principle into expression. We practice it through that. And this book has story after story of miraculous results using group intention. You're going to hear some of them this morning. And her research demonstrates that living things are affected by the energy of human thought. People in various different locations can join together with intention and affect plants and seeds and human health and well-being. And the list goes on and on and on. And it happens because of a phenomenon called entanglement. Now, entanglement, or non-locality, as it's also called, is a feature of quantum particles. It refers to what Einstein called a spooky action at a distance. And what it means is that once subatomic particles, like electrons or photons, are in contact, they become entangled, and then the actions of one instantly are mirrored in the other. And it doesn't matter how far apart they're separated. Time and distance are not factors in the quantum world. And while modern physicists accept entanglement as a feature of in the subatomic world, there's less agreement that it exists in the physical universe. And yet, a great deal of the research that is written about in this book points to the validity of virtual entanglement in the observable realm, not just in the invisible. So let's take a look at some of that research. Well, Lynn invited people from all over the world to join together for a weekly intention practice through her website. And she asked people to nominate someone to be the intention of the week. And one of the intended recipients was baby Isabella from Spokane, Washington. Did you know that? Isabella was born prematurely at 24 weeks, weighed in at 1 pound, 4 ounces. Her intestines were detached. She had a strep infection in her stomach. Her lungs were very weak. And 2 days after intestinal surgery, the baby developed another infection, and they had to operate on her lungs for a second time. She was placed on antibiotics, and then they discovered that her infection was antibiotic resistant. The doctors attached a colostomy bag, and her case looked almost hopeless. And then Isabella's mother reached out to Lynn and requested that her baby be the recipient of the intention of the week. 7 days after the group sent her the intention, Isabella went through another operation, this time amazingly well, came through it amazingly well. The doctors were concerned that the strep infection had returned and that they might have to operate again. However, they were astonished and delighted to find that her blood levels were normal. And she began to develop normally. and 8 months later was discharged. Took 8 months, but she was discharged a totally healthy child. And her mother called it nothing short of a miracle. Let's applaud for that. And I love this story for a number of reasons. The first, it makes my heart sing when I hear of little ones being healed like that. Doesn't it do that for you? Yes. And the other is, she's from Spokane. How cool is that? Thought that was awesome. And the third reason is because this is what oneness is all about. This is the story of oneness. One presence, one power, one life living through and as each one of us. Interbeing. And we are walking the talk. We are being the change when we step up and say, count me in. Sign me up. I want to be part of this healing of the planet. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yes. We want to be ready to step into authentic, optimistic action. Evolutionary activism. I love that. Don't you? That's what we're all about here, evolutionary activism. And it takes faith to be a part of this. You really have to focus on that. Charles Fillmore has a definition, intriguing definition for the word faith. It's the perceiving power of the mind linked with the ability to shape substance. We learned that in ministerial school. It rolls off the tongue. Wouldn't you agree, David? Yes. Perceiving power of the mind linked with the ability to shape substance. And that's what comes into play here. Visualization, which is the perceiving power of the mind, working with the invisible to bring forth what has been visualized. See? Shaping substance. And in order to do that, we have to align with the one life. We have to allow the miracle to manifest, become a vehicle for divine love to move and bless the world. And there's no sense of forcing, only of participating in something larger than we are. Do you see that? Something larger that's happening. That has an intelligence of its own. We're ushering it in. We step into the flow and we start living the truth of one presence, one power, interbeing, nothing and no one against us. Now, another story was about a man named Todd, who was a veteran of the Persian Gulf and Iraq wars. Todd had PTSD, suffered deep depression. He was hypervigilant, always sat with his back to the wall, scanning for threats. He couldn't sleep. He had trouble sleeping. And he was under the care of a psychologist who was studying brain waves and their correlation to mental disorders. And when Todd heard about Lynn's research through the psychologist, he volunteered to be the intention of the week. And so the group's intention was to attempt to calm Todd down by at least 25% and to increase his alpha waves in his brain. And during the actual experiment, everyone could see Todd in real time on a split screen on their computers. And on the other side of the screen, they could observe his brain waves through a monitor that he was hooked up to that was giving his EEG readings. And as the group went into focused intention, they watched in amazement as those alpha waves increased before their eyes. As they're doing this work, they're seeing the results. Isn't that cool? They also saw the coherence in his brain improving, and they witnessed the area most correlated with PTSD in the brain become almost completely normal during the experiment. And a week later, Todd described himself as much improved, very much improved. And he was able to do extensive traveling. He had no more need for clinical sessions. And within the next year, he went on to get married and have a child. And these are just two of the many inspiring stories in this book. And as she continued in the work, Lynn gathered together the world's largest global cyber prayer group. There were it involved several hundred thousand people from 100 different countries coming together. She's still doing this work. If you go on her website, you could be a part of it. You can sign up for the intention of the week. And just like entangled electrons, the participants' individual minds, even though they were all at a distance from each other, made an invisible connection in the same way. Almost like, as she calls it, a non-local psychic internet, is the way she describes it. And in that sense, they were able to act collectively to affect another's well-being. Are you hearing the power in this? Yes. And it takes the idea that one person's actions can't make a difference, and it shreds that belief completely. What we do matters. Virtual entanglement. And I don't know about you, but I have experienced this psychic internet before. Like when I go to text my daughter and find, oh, she just texted me. Or I'm just thinking about someone that I haven't talked to in a long time, and the phone rings, and who's on the other end? That person that I'm just thinking about. And when I don't listen to the nudges that I receive through this way, I usually regret it, right? Have you ever found yourself saying, oh, I knew I should have called them and I didn't? Or something was telling me to, but anyone? Yes. Well, the good news is this. It doesn't matter if we have ignored those nudges our whole life. Right now, we can tune into them. Right now. But we have to get into the right frequency in order to access it, you see? And we do that through the heart. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Now, HeartMath has done a lot of research on that. How many are you familiar with HeartMath? HeartMath, it's a wonderful organization. They do a lot of research on the heart. And they have helped people learn how to reach that frequency through a simple practice that we do every single week during our meditation time. Go into the heart, feel appreciation for someone or something you love, let it radiate. It's so simple that it's easy to miss the power of it. And yet, it can change our lives. And so HeartMath has software that you can get where you can test your own level of coherence, because this is what happens. You create a coherent energetic field. So you put on the ear sensor, and on the screen, you can watch your own internal state change before your eyes as you come into higher and higher coherence. And once you get proficient at that, you go on to what I call the heart video games. It's in the same software. And at first, you'll see this on your screen. It's a grayed out picture of a meadow. And as you get into higher and higher coherence, suddenly animals start showing up and rainbows and colors. And it only changes when you get yourself into a higher coherent state. And a lot of kids of all ages enjoy this, yes. And I have a short video I want to share with you that was taken at this year's Burning Man Festival, where HeartMath was there, and they had a whole bunch of people go into coherence together. They all put on the ear sensors, they were in a big circle, and as they became coherent, it affected a lighting structure, sculpture that they had there. And it's a short video, but while we're doing this, I want to invite you to practice this with me as we're watching. So just start breathing into your heart and feeling appreciation and letting it grow and expand. And we'll just watch this together. Your individual heart. Our internal state matters. You know, we make a difference by what we're putting out there. We affect others, not just living beings. You know, we can affect all of creation and however it shows up. And the British quantum scientist Rupert Sheldrake explains this with something he calls morphic resonance, which is the phenomenon of shared mental patterns or collective memory. And he teaches that we're all subject to this collective memory, which is memory from past members of our own species, and that we are also contributing to that morphic field, that people in the future will reap the benefits of what we're putting out there. We might also call this race mind, or the collective unconscious, as Jung calls it. When something is repeated often enough, a tipping point is reached and eventually becomes part of the whole culture. It's passed down. And Dr. Sheldrake wrote about experiments teaching rats how to navigate a certain maze, and then finding that in successive generations, the descendants of these rats learned the correct route at a much faster rate. They were able to pick up the knowledge of how to get through that maze very quickly. Now, that may be explainable through the idea of inheriting the ability genetically. However, descendants of the control group of rats who had not learned the maze also learned it as quickly. Now, that's a bit more curious, isn't it? And the theory is that this knowledge is being passed on through morphic resonance. Forms and patterns are contagious. Once something happens somewhere enough times, it induces the same thing to happen elsewhere. So what does that mean for us? It means that every time you treat someone with kindness, or spend time in the silence, or take compassionate action, every time you choose to come and listen from your heart rather than your head, even if no one witnesses your actions, it makes a difference. And as more and more of us join together in ways like that, we can reach a tipping point that ushers something new into the culture, a new paradigm of living. Isn't that cool? Yes. It also means this, that if one person can change their life and transform, everyone has the potential to do it as well. If one person can heal, it benefits the entire world. So do not underestimate the value and the significance of doing this work. Can you promise me that? Yes. Because things are not separate, even though they may appear to be. New Thought teacher Ernest Holmes calls the belief in separation a superstition. It's an illusion. The truth is that not only is all of creation interconnected, it is interdependent. You see that? It's the South African concept of Ubuntu. I am who I am because of who we are. And if everything is truly one, then what we have been believing to be possible, practical, and realistic has been far too limiting. And we can make our lives be about proving that point. Are you with me? Life is one big miracle. And miracles abound in the story of interbeing. I have one more story to share with you this morning about a man named George who had been diagnosed with a deadly type of brain cancer. It was an inoperable tumor. And he was a biomedical researcher, so he was well aware of what his prognosis was. There was no cure, no matter what the treatment. There was nothing conventional medicine could do for him. So he started looking outside the medical world, searching for a miracle. And he was led to a Pentecostal church conference. And there, a ministry team prayed for him, and he felt a vibrational surge that literally knocked him over. And he was so moved by this experience that he followed these conferences all around North America, kept getting in line, you know, getting, and each time he got prayed for, that lightning bolt reaction happened. However, every 3 months, when he went to see his doctor and get the MRI, that tumor was not only still there, it was continuing to grow. but he didn't give up. And he decided he wanted to be part of the prayer team. So he started praying with other people, and he traveled to other countries. And in Cuba, he joined in prayer for a man who had severe vision problems. He couldn't see 2 feet in front of him. And after 15 minutes of being prayed for, he started to describe objects 20 feet away without glasses. And then a woman on that trip with ovarian cancer had a noticeable tumor physically disappear. They saw it happen. And George was so impressed by the results from this prayer work that he became a man on a mission. He started praying for other people at every opportunity possible, sometimes devoting entire evenings and weekends to healing prayer. He formed his own prayer team at the church, and they stayed behind every Sunday, praying with long lines of people. And after 2 years of doing this, George's doctor noticed that the tumor had stopped growing. In fact, it was starting to shrink. And then his symptoms disappeared. And 8 years later, he remains healthy. After a recent scan, the word tumor was taken right out of his medical report. Now, the question of the day is this. Why do you think that tumor didn't change when he was being prayed for and then disappeared on its own later? Maybe. Actually, turn to the person next to you and tell them why you think. Okay. Okay, Gary said, we got it. All right, come on back. Now, the people that wrote about George's case in a book called Changed in a Moment asked that same question, and they attributed the turnaround to a cumulative effect of prayer that he had previously received, kind of like a bank account that suddenly gains a large amount of interest. And, you know, I don't disagree with that. When you create a coherent, heart-centered, energetic field, it does have a collectively increasing effect that is measurable. HeartMath has done a lot of work on that. But there's more to the story. Lynn, with her investigative journalist eyes, noticed something else. It wasn't the amount of prayer he received or the number of trips he went on. He began to get better the moment he started praying for other people. And we're going to talk more in depth about that later on in the series. But suffice it to say that there is a miraculous power we hold inside to heal our own lives, which gets unleashed, ironically, the moment we stop thinking about ourselves. As soon as we get the bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuit, says Emerson so eloquently frames it. And it doesn't mean that the person being prayed for doesn't benefit. We have plenty of evidence, study after study, that shows the powerful effect of healing prayer on the person receiving the prayer. What it does mean, though, is that your internal state is very important in the whole process. Like if you're a skeptic or whatever it is. And when you hold an intention, the perceiving power of the mind, and link it with kindness and caring, you access the ability to shape substance. Do you see that? That's so important to get this. When we get out of our stuff, and with altruism, with compassion, with genuine concern about another, when we get into that space and send out positive intention, it opens the door to healing, both yours and theirs. And if we do it for that reason, okay, I'm going to pray for people because I'm going to benefit, we negate the whole thing. You see? Because it's the altruistic, kind giving of yourself that puts the wheels in motion. So here are some thoughts to ponder this week. Every action you take, even if no one witnesses, it matters. Do you believe that's true?
Yes.
And caring for others is caring for yourself. Although, as I just said, it's not about doing it for that reason. But it's true. What we put out there returns to us. And miracles abound in the story of interbeing. We want to remember that as we go through this process together. Because that is the truth about our world and about our life and about who we are. So are you ready to start living that story? Yes. God bless.
So unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, and for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, the many ways of worshiping God. I mean, do you know that already? I mean, so you need to memorize this. Okay. So unity stands for what?
Peace
in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, and for in the presence of injury. Because unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, the many ways of worshiping God, for we know that there is only one power and one presence that is God, and that God loves us all equally. So whoever you are and wherever you are in your transformational journey, if you're new to us today and you feel comfortable enough to raise your hand, our ushers have a packet of information to share with you. Anyone here for the first time? Okay, then. We can just be ourselves, I guess. All right, let's get our fellowships on.
Okay, I'm ready.